Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for checking out this podcast from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, you can hear our program live weekday morning, 6 till 8 Central Time. There are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows. They're available online. Our web address, of course, myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Start your day connecting faith to life. It's Austin Hill in the Morning.
Good morning. It's now 6:04. Welcome to our program. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill here weekday morning 6 till 8 as we seek to connect faith to life. As you get your day started, setting new records still. Yes, we are across the country not so much in our broadcast service areas. We've still got plenty of snow and ice in the upper Midwestern regions of the country. But the east is getting pummeled just a little bit more. And forthcoming, the Pacific Northwest, actually, some freezing rain and more inches of snow and such. So it's a very icy cold week all across the United States of America. And as I pointed out, this still stands, by the way. I researched this before we started the program this morning. Just last hour I was hunting around. Still slightly over 50% of the 48 states here in North America are experiencing some pretty excessive snow and ice. So if you're knee-deep in it, you're not alone. Here's something we're most certainly not alone in. That is the efforts with Operation Christmas Child. Yesterday we spoke with Reverend Franklin Graham, whose Samaritan's Purse organization, the group that he oversees, they carry this out. They've been doing this for many, many years. Operation Christmas Child, an effort to garner Christmas gifts, and in most cases some very specific situation-appropriate gifts for children around the world. And those gifts are presented to children along with an evangelistic message. And the impact of this is really extraordinary. Coming up in just a few moments, we'll check in with a gentleman named Kirk Militzer. Kirk Militzer, he is a pastor at what is known as the East Campus of Triumph Lutheran Brethren Church in the Fargo-Moorhead area. He and his church members, fellow parishioners, they listen to us on our Fargo broadcast affiliate, Faith 1200 KFNW in Fargo. Good morning, Faith 1200. Good to have you with us. Anyway, we'll check in with Pastor Militzer coming up in just moments to see how the collection efforts with Operation Christmas Child are going in his area. This is happening all over, and we have details on our network website at myfaithradio.com on how you can get involved pretty easily and pretty much like right now, like today. Starting today, you can get the appropriate info that you need to get started. So we'll talk with Pastor Militzer coming up in just moments. Later this morning, Dr. Kevin Lehman, author and counselor. He's got a brand new book out. He's an internationally known psychologist and media personality. But Dr. Lehman has a brand new book out called Have a Happy Family by Friday. Have a Happy Family by Friday. Can we really make quick changes in our family and maybe even create a happier holiday season? Dr. Lehman joins us to tell us about steps to take coming up later this morning here on Faith Radio. It's now 6:07. When we come back, we'll check in with Pastor Kirk Militzer and find out about the Operation Christmas Child efforts underway in the FM Fargo-Moorhead area. And I'll tell you more about how you can get started with Operation Christmas Child through us wherever you might be listening this morning. All this just ahead. It's the Faith Radio Network. It's now 6:08. I'm Austin Hill. Welcome to Thursday. We're glad you're with us.
Back to Austin Hill in the Morning. Questions or comments for the show? You can leave them on our show page at myfaithradio.com.
6:09 yesterday, Pastor Franklin Graham, Reverend Franklin Graham, who heads up the Samaritan's Purse International Famine Relief Organization. He was with us on our program to talk about Operation Christmas Child. We've got the audio and text content of Mr. Graham's comments, as are most of our interviews that we do here on our program. They're available on our network website at myfaithradio.com. And Mr. Graham certainly was expressing a sense of urgency, suggesting that the window of opportunity to reach children around the world with the message of Christ, you just never know when the door is going to close on that, and the window of opportunity seems to be slipping away slowly but surely. That, I think, was part and parcel to his comments. Nonetheless, this week began Collection Week for Operation Christmas Child Gifts. Joining us on our guest line here at Faith Radio, Pastor Kirk Militzer. He's at the East Campus of Triumph Lutheran Brethren Church in the Fargo-Moorhead area of North Dakota. Pastor Militzer, welcome to the Faith Radio Network. Good to talk to you this morning.
Well, good morning, and a warm welcome from cold northern Minnesota.
I appreciate that. How cold is it, actually, where you're at? Do you have any idea? Can you glance at your mobile phone and get the digital update? Just curious.
You know what? It is swimsuit weather up here. I don't have that right now. But it's going to get to the mid-30s.
Okay.
This weekend, and people are going to go nuts. So down in Twin Cities, you'll be able to smell burgers on the grill, and you'll smell the SPF coming from the interstate and all that kind of stuff. So we're pretty fired up.
I'm in the mood for all of that and more. I appreciate that very much, Pastor. On a more serious note, suntan lotion or not, you and your associates, your fellow servants at the East Campus of Triumph Lutheran Brethren Church, you folks have come on board with Operation Christmas Child. Tell us about that.
Well, I can't think of a more exciting time to be a part of what Jesus is doing around the world. And we've been a part of Operation Christmas Child for 16 years, and I can honestly say it's truly one of the highlights of the year for me personally, but also our congregation. One of the phrases that Samaritan's Purse uses is the power of a simple gift. And really, what goes into that shoebox may be fun, but what comes out of a simple shoebox given in Jesus' name can truly multiply disciples and grow children and further God's kingdom. I'm not surprised that Mr. Graham yesterday talked about the closing window, but also he probably made reference to the fact that just a simple shoebox can literally be used by our sovereign Lord to open up villages and families to hear the name of Christ. And it's impacted my family, me personally, of course, but our church family, because little ones to grandmas and grandpas, they can all take part in this.
Sure. Yeah, no, your point's very well taken. Pastor Kirk Militzer from Triumph Lutheran Brethren Church in the Fargo-Moorhead area, he's on our guest line here on Faith Radio. He and his fellow church members and staffers have undertaken the effort to help out with Operation Christmas Child. And you're correct, Pastor. That's exactly what Franklin Graham was saying, that a simple shoebox of gifts can be transformative in the life of the child. In fact, earlier this week, we spoke here on the program with a gentleman who I would guess he's probably mid to late 20s, maybe even early 30s now. He's working directly with Operation Christmas Child. Way back when, in the mid-1990s, he was a little 9-year-old boy living in a crowded, rundown orphanage in the country of Russia, and received one of these very simple gift boxes. And he made it very clear. He said, that was all I needed to convince me that maybe there's a God out there that loves me. So as you and your folks go about packing these boxes, what goes through your mind? You don't know who's going to receive that gift, but the transformative power here, that's not to be downplayed. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, that story continues again and again and again. Last night we were packing boxes with middle school kids at our church, and we said, okay, now the most important ingredient is to lay hands on that box and pray over that box, and the sovereign God of the universe is going to make sure that just that right box gets to just that right child. I mean, there are stories that are repeated again and again and again every year about a child just like that young man who you had on the station yesterday. That was his testimony. I mean, ask Pastor Peter, who's from Uganda, and ask who saw his church burned down in 2008 by the Lord's Resistance Army. And again, man, think about the discouragement that came to that pastor. That was in 2008. Right. Operation Christmas Child got to be a part of Pastor Peter's ministry. They brought 200 shoeboxes, and as it was given to children from that community, families came and said, listen, we want to rebuild this church. There's something about Christians who share in the name and power of Jesus. And that opens up homes, literally. And so it's very, very well worth it. I guess for me, one of the motivating factors is when people say, there's really nothing I can do. Oh, yes, you can. See what the Lord can do with that simple shoebox.
That's very well stated. Pastor Kirk Militzer, for the person listening who's perhaps in the Fargo-Moorhead area, they're listening on our Fargo, North Dakota affiliate, Faith 1200, and they're saying, you know, I want to get on board. I like what the pastor is saying here. I want to come on board, but I'm going to be out of town this weekend, or I can't do it right this moment, or I can't do it tomorrow. What about early next week? Tell us what the timeline looks like from your vantage point.
Well, our friends at life979.com, they've been rock stars over these years and partnered with us. They're great, and I'll say that off the air as well, too, because they've done just a great job. So if they go on the station's website, there's all the information that's there. We're open over the weekend from 9 to 6, and because our folks are just kind of used to it, we have extended hours, just like shopping hours. On Monday, it's 9 to 9, so they can still take part in it. All the information is there on the website, or they certainly can just and maybe go to SamaritansPurse.org.
Sure. Yeah,
and we've got all the there as well, too.
Yeah. And we've got details at our network website, myfaithradio.com. That's hopefully we've created sort of a one-stop shopping experience to get the info you need. Kirk Militzer, he is a pastor at the East Campus of Triumph Lutheran Brethren Church in the Fargo-Moorhead area. Pastor Kirk, thanks so much for joining us. I know it's quite early, but you've been working around the clock. And listen, let's do this again. And maybe next time, we'll just expect it. We'll expect an update on grilling activity. And beach-going activities, and maybe a December at the lake or something like that. We'll check in again and pester you some more here very soon.
Well, thanks. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 25:40, whenever you did it to the least of these, you could probably say the forgotten one, you've done it unto me. That's our motivation when we hear King Jesus say, well done. So God bless you, and thanks for your partnership.
Thank you for yours, Pastor. Pastor Kirk Militzer from the Triumph Lutheran Brethren Church in the Fargo-Moorhead area. 617, this is the Faith Radio Network that you're listening to. I'm Austin Hill. We're glad you're here. It's Thursday. This is the Faith Radio Network that you're listening to. Listener-supported Faith Radio. We can't do it without you. Join us anytime at MyFaithRadio.com. That's MyFaithRadio.com. I'm Austin Hill. Good morning, and welcome. Thursday underway, a very snowy, icy, cold one, despite Pastor Militzer from the Fargo-Moorhead region explaining that it was, what did he say, swimsuit weather? That was very funny. He said, "You'll smell the grill cooking any moment now." Well, I'm glad it's getting up over and above 32 degrees Fahrenheit in certain regions. That only means that things get kind of soupy on the ground, and we see some melting, which leads to another freezing and more slick ice. And it's just, you know, the way things go right now. But take heart, it won't last forever. By the way, on the Operation Christmas Child initiative, just as a little review. Now, again, if you get over to myfaithradio.com, we've got all the info that you need there. But if you're out and about, if you've already begun your day, and maybe you're in your vehicle, for example, or you soon will be, And after hearing what Pastor Kirk Militzer was describing, after hearing what I'm describing for you, you're thinking, okay, maybe I can, maybe I should stop and help out with this. Here's some of the kinds of stuff that is appropriate for kids in these little gift boxes, the so-called shoe boxes. School supplies are, generally speaking, a really good thing. Notebooks, pens, crayons, personal hygienic supplies like toothbrushes, toothpaste, bar soap. When it comes to toys, things like little play balls, Beanie Babies, those are a good fit, generally speaking. Little small dolls for little girls is appropriate. Now, here are some things to avoid. And this is, we need to say this respectfully but strongly. Avoid any warlike or military-like toys like plastic guns or knives or rifles or any of that kind of stuff. Not good. Despite how we view the private possession of weapons here in the United States, or at least how we many of us view them anyway, it's kind of part and parcel to our rights that are to be protected by our governments and such. A gun, something of that sort, has a very negative connotation for children, especially in war-torn parts of the world. And the folks at Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child, in their wisdom, they prefer to just stay clear of that. As a matter of fact, respectfully, they would want us to know, and I've talked with folks at Operation Christmas Child over the years, if indeed you or I were to pack something like that in a gift box, it will be removed. It won't get shipped to a kid. It'll get sent off somewhere else, donated somewhere else. Okay. Here's some other things to avoid. Don't include things that could spill, break, or melt. Now, that would include lotions. I know lotions obviously fit under the personal hygienic umbrella, but nonetheless, avoid lotions. Avoid liquid soaps. And even really cool things, things that we might think are kind of sweet and fun and a delicacy, like chocolate, for example, stay clear of that. So the school supplies, the personal hygienic supplies, two thumbs up for that. Avoid the other kinds of things that we're mentioning here. And by the way, we've got this interview. You can go back and listen to this if you wish. If you get over to myfaithradio.com. I don't have the gentleman's name. Quite literally, at the end of last week, I interviewed a gentleman who works with Operation Christmas Child, and he was, quite literally, I mentioned this a few moments ago, he was a 9-year-old boy in a rundown, what he described was a quite impoverished orphanage in the country of Russia, just a few years after the collapse of what was known then as the Soviet Union. And if you followed any of that, if you paid attention to what was going on over there, in the aftermath of 1989 and then officially the Soviet Union being declared over with in 1991, that country was a mess. They fairly quickly said, okay, we're a free and open society, and we've got free market economies, and let's do that Western-style kind of society. And you don't just turn on a dime after you've locked out God for half a century, and the government has controlled everything in people's lives for 50, 60 years or so. You don't just all of a sudden turn on a light switch and say, ha-ha, we're a free society. It was chaos. It was a mess in those early days after the fall of communism in Russia. So here's this little 9-year-old boy growing up in still a very godless society. And as this gentleman described it to me, just days ago here on this program, he said, the fact that I received a washcloth, my own personal washcloth, he shared bath towels with 20 other kids at the orphanage. He said, the fact that I got my own personal washcloth led me to believe that maybe there is a force, a power, a higher power in the universe bigger than me. Maybe there is a God that actually knows who I am and loves me. This was a child growing up in an impoverished orphanage, obviously without parents, and he's working with Operation Christmas Child today. That's the transformative power of these simple little gifts. So again, myfaithradio.com, you can find the churches and the organizations in your local area that can help out. And the gentleman's name, by the way, it was Ted Foreman. Ted Foreman, F-O-R-M-A-N. Thank you for that, Aaron. Appreciate the reminder there. If you get to myfaithradio.com, I encourage you, go find that interview that I did. The audio is posted right there. It's easy to get to. Listen to what he describes. And then see if maybe your heartstrings aren't tugged on just a little bit more and you're more inclined to make some purchases here soon and get them packed up. When we come back, let's look ahead to Connecting Faith. That's our program we feature weekdays 12 noon Central Time here on the Faith Radio Network. We'll get to that coming up next. It's now 6:26, and I'm Austin Hill. On the Faith Radio Network, Connecting Faith happens weekdays 12 noon Central Time here at the Faith Radio Network. Yesterday, host Neil Stavem was interviewing Mary Osten. Mary is the author of A Sane Woman's Guide to Raising a Large Family, as well as Forever Mom, What to Expect When You're Adopting. Fascinating conversation yesterday. Here's part of it.
Do I wish that some of our other kids had not had some challenges that they did? Well, yeah, that's the mom in me. But God can grow us, and God can redeem challenges in all of our lives, you know, right in the middle of hard times, and teach us something about His nature and teach us about loving each other more, too.
You know, you talked a little bit about, you know, getting a community around you. I'm wondering if you do address a little bit about this, you know, oftentimes you bring a new child home. There's the expectation to introduce, you know, your child to, you know, family, friends, church. I mean, you're sort of on display for, you know, maybe a few months or so. And those are probably some key times when you need to maybe cocoon a little bit. So how could a loving, supporting community be more effective in helping a new adoptive parent?
Well, I think it is great to keep in mind that family is going to need to grow together and to have time to do that. Probably the parents will need to step back from some outside obligations that they have pretty routinely done. You know, don't ask that new adoptive mom to volunteer on this or that committee for a while, and you know, give her some grace. And, you know, keep visits short, and you might want to wait a few weeks to visit. I know people are always so excited to greet new kids, and that is absolutely a wonderful thing. You know, I've been so grateful for that community around. What kids probably most need is a lot of quiet time at home with their parents just to get to know these new parents of theirs. Doesn't mean you can't help out the family, though. I mean, like I said, meals are always fabulous, whether your child is newborn or 12 on homecoming. And, you know, if you can offer to run to the store for people or bring other kids to soccer practice or, you know, just there's lots of ways that you can help out. And often, you know, if you just generally say, well, do you need help with anything? Often parents will say no, right? But if you say, hey, I am at Walmart right now. Do you need milk? What else do you need? You know, that may be a very specific request like that may be more easily accepted. And, you know, sometimes people can just feel overwhelmed, and yet, you know, they chose to adopt. So they sometimes don't want to impose on family and friends around them. Because they don't want people to think, well, maybe they're in over their head, or they shouldn't have done this, or whatever. But, boy, to be a good friend, it's great if you can just ask, you know, gently and honestly, and see what you can do to help out.
Mary Osten, a guest of Neil Stavem on Connecting Faith. Now, coming up today at 12 noon Central Time, it's another Ask the Professor episode. University of Northwestern St. Paul professors Mark Muska and Brad Sickler will field your questions about the Bible and theology. It's Connecting Faith with Neil Stavem today, 12 noon Central Time on the Faith Radio Network. Good morning. It's now 6:31. Still to come, an update from a pastor on tensions rising in Ferguson, Missouri. We'll get to that coming up next. SRN News on the way.
News you can use. Connecting faith to life. It's Austin Hill in the morning.
6:35 on the Faith Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to it. It's Thursday. It's snowy. It's icy. And it's cold in much of the United States and probably where you're at, where you're listening right now. But we're glad you're here. We are listener-supported Faith Radio. Find us at myfaithradio.com. Coming up later this morning, just about an hour from now, Dr. Kevin Lehman, world-renowned clinician, clinical psychologist and author. He'll talk to us about his new book, Have a Happy, Happy Family by Friday. Can you really turn things around in your family in a short period of time? We'll talk with him about that coming up later this morning here on Faith Radio. Law enforcement agencies throughout the United States have been warned that a grand jury's decision on whether a Missouri police officer will face charges in the face of the shooting death of an unarmed 18-year-old civilian named Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri last summer, whether or not that officer will face criminal charges. And in the midst of it, there's civil unrest that's already begun to ensue. What do you suppose is the pastor's perspective in all of this? Craig D'Onofrio is a Lutheran pastor in the St. Louis area. He also happens to be quite a talk show host himself in the St. Louis area. He joins us on the guest line once again. Craig D'Onofrio, welcome back to Faith Radio. Or I should say Reverend Craig D'Onofrio. Thanks for being here this morning.
No problem, Austin. Good to be with you.
It's a pleasure. We're seeing all these news headlines nationwide saying, oh, my goodness, the FBI has issued a warning, and this is going to necessarily touch off civil unrest all over the country, or at least there's the possibility of that. How do things look there at ground zero, so to speak, in the Ferguson area and the surrounding regions?
Well, I tell you, Austin, tensions are running pretty high, as you've probably noted already. Governor Nixon has activated the National Guard and put them on standby, actually. But they have released maps of where the National Guard is to be posted and all of that sort of thing. I'm not sure if that's really a good idea or not. A lot of controversy around that, having people in, riot gear and military equipment and that sort of thing, I'm afraid might escalate things more. But then again, on the other hand, a lot of agitators in the area said, well, you know, police are just going to have to put up with some minor crimes, and they're just going to have to deal with it, you know, if we're out smashing windows and grabbing stuff and all that kind of stuff. The thing that's really tragic is, you know, people of all races in the area are just kind of terrified. Mm-hmm. Because there are some bad eggs and some, like I said, some agitators out there that just want to cause trouble. And, you know, the rest of us are kind of being held hostage by a few bad eggs. And we know the way that our culture is and the way that things run is, you know, if there are a few idiots in the group, the government decides, well, you know what, we should just suspend everyone's rights because that's only fair.
Right, right.
So, it makes a lot of us really nervous out here.
How are churches responding?
Well, you know, really depends on the denomination and the makeup of the church, I think. I know that we in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod are trying to remain neutral as much as possible politically in the whole matter. We're praying for peace, and we're trying to advocate for peace with all the people that are involved. Their violence is not going to be the proper response. It's just going to get more people hurt and more property damaged and more businesses wrecked. So, you know, peace is the main goal.
It strikes me, Craig D'Onofrio, that there doesn't seem to be a lot of regard for private property at times like these. And I don't think the protestations and the outrage in Ferguson, Missouri is worse necessarily than other similar situations in the U.S., but the idea, as you were just describing it, rather cavalierly, just going out and smashing windows on buildings, businesses perhaps, maybe private residences, taking things that are in the building, it just seems to be, whether anybody gets injured or not in any given situation, seems to be almost a complete disregard at times for people's private property. Can you comment on that?
Well, yeah, once again, we've seen that I think something like 80% of the people who have been arrested agitating in Ferguson and committing crimes are not even from the area. And so a lot of people coming from outside looking, you know, they're opportunists. They're looking for opportunity to either get some press or just cause trouble. And so, of course, you know, especially if you don't live in a neighborhood and you come in from the outside, who cares? It's not my neighborhood. May as well destroy it, seems to be the attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I work with people of many races and some who live in that area. And frankly, this is terrorism of sorts when these people come in from the outside and they start doing this sort of thing. And they start agitating impressionable young men to join in on the activities there. And hey, it's a good opportunity to get free stuff. Seems to be the end of it all. You and I are both from Southern California, and I think you were out there with the Rodney King decision that came down and the riots that ensued.
I was indeed.
I remember people coming up with the attitude of, hey, let's go out to Los Angeles and get some free stuff. Now, I don't know if they did or not, but it seems to be kind of the same mentality that's going on out here in Ferguson.
Reverend Craig D'Onofrio from the Ferguson area in Missouri. He's on our guest line here on Faith Radio as we talk about tensions rising there in anticipation of a verdict, a decision, if you will, from a grand jury that has investigated a white police officer in Ferguson in the aftermath of a shooting death involving a black male suspect. We don't know what the grand jury is going to come up with, Craig. It, certainly what little about this investigation has leaked out. It certainly appears as though this white male police officer may very well be exonerated. He's not been charged with anything, and maybe exonerate is not the correct term, but he may be found completely unworthy of any criminal charges by the grand jury. And it just seems as though there are those in the community and perhaps elsewhere around the country are just saying, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what an investigation may produce, exonerating this man, letting him walk, so to speak, letting him not be charged is just going to be unacceptable no matter what. Is that's kind of the message we're getting around the country. Is that the mindset among some there in the Ferguson area?
I think you're onto it there, Austin. The idea that simply the man is out to get us is justification enough, you know, and just this idea that we have oppressed classes, and if you're in an oppressed class, you're allowed to just behave badly, and you should be able to do that with impunity. You know, that's just it's insane. There's just nothing that I could call it but insane. Last night on Fox News, I saw that more and more evidence is being released now that Officer Wilson is innocent, that there is no wrong going on his part. He feared for his life. He used lethal force in a just manner. And I'm not going to swear to this, but I'm pretty sure that they're going to find that there's no basis for a charge. And there's going to be a lot of mayhem. Now, it's currently about, I think it's about 12 degrees out here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when the weather's cold like this, it's probably a good time to release something like that, because a lot of people that might go out and cause trouble, maybe they'll go out for 10 minutes and say, it's too cold out here, I'm going back home, I don't know. But
sure.
That's kind of a hope that we have, you know, that they'll find a time of rough weather and then release it.
Right. Craig D'Onofrio, a final question for you. What are you personally anticipating? What are you bracing for in your region of the country?
You know, Austin, it's really hard to say. It's been several months now. We're hoping that a lot of the agitators have gone away. In Clayton, Missouri, I guess there was a big protest the other day. That's where the courts are located here in St. Louis. Really, we don't know. We're bracing for the worst, but we're hoping for the best, and we're praying for peace in the midst of it all.
Pastor Craig D'Onofrio from the Ferguson, Missouri area on our guest line. Craig, as always, thanks for being with us this morning. Good to speak with you, and we will join you in praying for peace.
You bet, Austin. God bless.
I'm Austin Hill. Our program continues. On the Faith Radio Network, listener-supported Faith Radio. Thank you for being with us. I'm Austin Hill, here weekday morning 6 till 8 as we seek to connect faith to life. Right here at the start of your day, by the way, our friends over at ChristianPost.com or The Christian Post, their domain name is just simply ChristianPost.com. Anyway, quite literally, while I was speaking moments ago with Pastor Craig D'Onofrio, from the St. Louis area, Ferguson area of Missouri. Well, 11 minutes ago now. this is the news here is that new, actually. The folks at Christian Post have now published a story noting some of the carnage, some of the damage from this massive new snowstorm that has moved through the state of New York and into the Great Lake regions of Wisconsin and Michigan. I'll read just a little bit of this to you. And by the way, yesterday here on our program, I noted that Buffalo, New York, was kind of in the process of receiving somewhere between 6 and 7 inches of snow, all kind of in one shot. But according to ChristianPost.com just moments ago, a massive snowstorm has killed at least 7 individuals and left many more stranded in their vehicles in the city of Buffalo. It has also affected several other Great Lakes states, including northern Wisconsin and Michigan. Further snow is expected to hit Buffalo later this afternoon, which is already buried under 6 feet of snow, and the entire state has been declared under a state of an emergency. The weather-related deaths in New York included a 46-year-old man found inside his car in Alden, New York, completely buried. Another 30-year-old Pennsylvanian man was killed in Cheektowaga after a high lift attempt to free a vehicle stuck in snow accidentally pinned him in the car. Whew. Please pray for the families of surviving family members, I should say, in the aftermath of this. And do allow a little extra traveling time, even, you know, not just car travel time, but if you're using public transportation by any chance, try, as the professionals with public transportation systems may, to keep everything on, to keep the trains running on time, as the saying goes. Stuff happens. Things get bogged down. And, of course, allow extra walking time and cycling time if you're trying to go about it with bicycle. But very, very devastating stuff. And, again, as I said earlier, we've got a major new storm system now moving through the Pacific Northwest. And we're expecting regions of the states of Oregon and Washington in particular to be hit pretty heavily with snow and what they call freezing rain. So the battle never ends. It's going to be a long, hard slaunch, slog, I think, is what I'm trying to say there, over the summer months, or the winter months, rather. But be prepared and press on. Be very, very, very safe. In other news, I love that that transition. Isn't that just kind of the classic way to pivot from one topic to another? This is something, and I've mentioned this a few times over the last couple of weeks or so, but there's this ongoing effort, mainly driven by, as far as I can tell, Pope Francis and the Vatican, the leadership of the Roman Catholic Church. There's this ongoing effort to enhance and to increase Protestant-Catholic dialogue among Christians in our world today. Pope Francis has actually invited a couple of very prominent, very high-profile evangelicals to the Vatican to discuss issues pertaining to the definition of marriage and human sexuality with him. And I'll get to this a little bit later this morning. We're learning some details of what has emerged out of these meetings. Pastor Rick Warren, the very high-profile evangelical Pastor Rick Warren, whose broadcast is heard every Monday through Friday here at Faith Radio. Pastor Rick Warren has been one of these dispatched to the Vatican. And there have been a couple of other gentlemen who are leaders in the evangelical church movement here in the U.S. And it's very interesting what's coming out of this. And one of the goals, one of the stated objectives, as I understand it, is Pope Francis and the evangelical clergy that are participating here are hoping that this would enhance not just further cooperation between Catholics and Protestants on issues of common interest And I would personally maintain, as a layperson myself, that we have a whole lot in common, evangelicals and Catholics in particular, and a lot of common interests, especially at such a trying time as this that we live in right now. But one of the objectives here with the Vatican pulling together these meetings is that there would be additional and, shall we say, enhanced dialogue and cooperation, not just among institutions and church leaders, but among we the people, us, the laity. That is to say that you and me, we would have better relationships and maybe more collaboration and cooperation on things that really matter in our lives with our brothers and sisters who are Catholic, or if you are Catholic, with your brothers and sisters who are Protestants. So very interesting news. We're getting little trickles of information, of course, and I say this respectfully, the Catholic Church moves very, very slow with these kinds of things, which in many cases is really, really a good thing. The fact that the Catholic Church doesn't move at light speed, try to come up with quick decisions, knee-jerk responses to things, these ongoing meetings that the Pope has convened with very high-profile evangelical church leaders here in the U.S. and from other parts of the world as well, they're addressing some very serious issues. Defense of marriage, the definition of marriage, human sexuality, even something that's near and dear to the hearts of a lot of evangelicals, because we see the gross injustice of it, human sex trafficking, not only as it exists in the third world, but even right here in the United States. So stand by for more. I'll try to, coming up into the next hour, lay out some of the details that we're learning here about the outcome of this. But I think it's potentially very, very exciting. And I think the Vatican and the Pope are to be commended for calling these meetings. 6:54 now. It's the Faith Radio Network that you're listening to. I'm Austin Hill. Live the Promise with Susie Larson. Happens every weekday afternoon, 3 till 5 p.m. Central Time. When we return, get a little sneak preview about what Susie's up to today. Stand by.
Now, Mr. Smith, if you take away all the witnesses and the murder weapon with my client's fingerprints, there really is no evidence. Is that not true?
Well, there's a written confession.
Okay, other than that, too.
I guess without all that evidence, there is no case.
Thank you, Your Honor. I rest my case.
That's it? Are you sure you don't need to defend me a little more?
Oh, trust me. This case is in the bag.
If there are no closing arguments, we'll excuse the jury for deliberation.
Your Honor, I speak for the rest of the jury. He's guilty of sin.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Uh-huh.
Very well. This court finds Mr. Winkelmeyer guilty and sentenced to life in prison.
Oh, that is so not good.
Well, bummer for you. You'll get my bill in the morning.
God will eventually be your judge. Are you prepared? The Bible says that Jesus speaks to the Father in our defense. Are you trusting Jesus with where you'll spend eternity?
To learn more, call 888-NEED-HIM or chat with us live at needhim.org.
On the Faith Radio Network. On her program, Live the Promise, yesterday Susie Larson spoke with author and pastor Matthew Barnett about how God can use us misfits. Here's part of that conversation.
I really believe it's the encounters that we have with people that are broken that change us on the inside. I think broken people and what they do for us do more than we can really do for them. And sometimes I thank people, you know, who go through our recovery program, they're saying, Pastor, why are you thanking me? I should be thanking you. I say, I thank you because, you know, I've learned what courage is in getting back up again through the journey.
Wow, so beautiful. Okay, so you tell that story about a time at a ball game when you were young and your dad, a dad of a player on the other team, had lost his head, so to speak. Tell that story if you don't mind.
You know, this was a time I really understood on a practical level what it means to really go looking for misfits and people that just, you know, do things that are wrong that the world would turn their back on. I was at a football game, and our football team was playing, and they called a penalty on one of the players on my team, and the father didn't like it. So he yelled and screamed at the referee, which he should not have done, obviously, and the referee didn't like it, so he threw a 15-yard penalty flag, and then the dad got mad again, and he just kept screaming, and the referee kept throwing flags. To make a long story short, everyone was mad because this guy, we were losing the game because of this angry fan, and the ref was taking out on him. And finally, all the parents kicked him out and said, get out of here. And of course, he was totally wrong in his behavior.
And he bowed his head, realized how he lost his temper, and in shame, he walked all the way to his car. And all the parents were like, get out of here. We're glad that you're gone. And understandably so to some degree. But I saw my dad get up from the stands in the middle. It was like watching a movie. He got out of the stands, and he walked all the way to the car, met the man before he got to his car, put his arm around him, and just talked to this man. And I saw him weeping all the way from the parking lot. I can see the man crying as my dad put his arm around him and encouraged him. And he said, I know that there's probably some other things going on in your life. And to find out, this man had a lot of battles going on, and this was the moment he lost it. And I saw my dad, the only person that really stood out for this guy, and just saw.
Pastor and author Matthew Barnett from Los Angeles on Live the Promise with Susie Larson. Coming up today on her program, Susie welcomes David Zack of the band Remedy Drive for another edition of The Artist Corner. It's Live the Promise, 3 till 5 p.m. Central Time. Good morning at 6:58. I'm Austin Hill. SRN News next.
Start your day connecting faith to life. It's Austin Hill in the morning.
Good morning. Here's hoping the ice and the snow aren't too slippery for you today. Yes, a good bit of the U.S. is getting hit yet again with even more snow and freezing rain in some parts of the country. But we'll make it. We'll get together and we'll make it through together. It's now 7:04. Welcome to the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Honored to be with you weekday morning 6 till 8 as we seek to connect faith to life. Question, do you think you could really have a happier family? Do you really honestly believe that you could have a happier family life, better relationships with your spouse, with your kids, extended family and such, in a fairly short order? Dr. Kevin Lehman, internationally known psychologist and media personality, professional speaker, educator, what a multi-talented guy. Dr. Kevin Lehman joins us in just about half an hour from now. His new book is called Have a Happy Family by Friday. Now, given that it's already morning time on Thursday, that's making pretty good time if we can pull that off. But seriously, Dr. Lehman's new book, Have a Happy Family by Friday, proposes, I don't want to say a quick fix or quick fixes, but some steps proactively that you and I can take to improve family matters. I'm looking forward to hearing from him, and I'm sure you are as well. Also, more on Operation Christmas Child coming up in just moments. That is going, as far as I can tell, in a very robust sort of fashion. This is Collection Week, as we've talked about several times, really every day this week here on our program. Collection Week at churches all across our land, and if you need to find a church or a donation station, if you will, in your area, just navigate over to our network website, myfaithradio.com. We've got a full roster there of in all the broadcast areas that we serve in the upper Midwestern U.S. We've got a full roster of all the locations where you can go to drop off your goods and suggestions for gift items. But this is indeed something that can be transformative in the life of a child. Child somewhere that you haven't even imagined. You have no idea. When you drop off these gifts, you have no idea where those gifts are going to end up. But nonetheless, the stories come back time and time again, year after year, moment by moment, literally, about how a simple little cardboard box with some essentials, like maybe some hygienic products, maybe a bar of soap, a washcloth, a small toy to play with, school supplies. Stories come back over and over again of how those kinds of material goods can be transformative in the life of a child. MyFaithRadio.com, details on Operation Christmas Child. We'll tell you more about that coming up. In just moments, we'll check in with our great friend Kim Cotola. Kim Cotola hosts the Cradle My Heart program. That's heard Sunday evenings, 8 p.m. Central Time here on Faith Radio. Have you ever done what some people refer to as sidewalk counseling? Sidewalk counseling. Let's talk about sidewalk counseling, what it means in the context of the quest for life in our culture, and find out what Kim Cotola has to say about it. We'll get to her coming up next. It's now 7:07. This is the Faith Radio Network.
Let it go. on the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill, honored to be with you weekday morning, 6 till 8. What do you hear, what do you think of when you hear the term sidewalk counseling? Well, for those who are intimately involved with the quest for life, the quest to uphold the sanctity of life, the unborn child and life in all its various stages, for those involved in that movement, for those who care deeply about the carnage left behind in the aftermath of an abortion, sidewalk counseling has a very important connotation. Joining us to talk about that, Kim Cotola. She hosts the Cradle My Heart program Sunday evenings, 8 p.m. here on the Faith Radio Network. Kim, welcome back to our morning show, sidewalk counseling. That's a very important term for you and your associates. Tell us what that means.
Well, sidewalk counseling is what is actually going on when we think about the stereotype of angry protesters holding signs and yelling at women on their way mm-hmm. to receive an abortion. That is a media stereotype, and I'm not saying that it never happens, but in the vast majority of cases, the people who are trying to reach women at the last minute before an abortion actually happens are engaging in sidewalk counseling. And what they're doing is telling women, we are here to help you. You don't need to do this, because we know many people do make this choice because they feel they have no choice, Austin. And so they say, you know, there is an alternative. Please let us help you. And it has proven to be a pretty effective outreach from what I understand. It's not something I've ever done, but I think these are heroic rescue efforts when they do occur.
You are nonetheless regarded as a national advocate for the unborn child, and when a woman walking into the abortion clinic or maybe contemplating that decision, when they are persuaded by some of these so-called sidewalk counseling efforts, that's regarded as a pretty substantial victory, is it not?
Of course. And, you know, I mean, it's a controversial subject. In fact, legislation has happened in different places to try to create safety zones where people can't gather on the sidewalks mm-hmm. because, you know, of course, if they're effective and women turn around and don't complete that appointment, it cuts into the business of abortion providers who are generally working as for-profit businesses. So they've been, you know, to be fair, I've heard women say that, you know, they were traumatized by the way that people approach them on the sidewalk on the way into an abortion. So there's a good way to do it, and there's a proper way to do that, and that's what we're going to talk about this coming Sunday night.
Looking forward to that discussion. Kim Cotola, her program is called Cradle My Heart. It airs live real time. We always have to make that clear. Live real time, 8 p.m. Central Time on Sunday evenings here on the Faith Radio Network. You can always find the audio for on-demand listening at myfaithradio.com. But Kim is with us right now. And this is a complex issue because those who might want to engage in the sidewalk counseling, as it were, well, they have a right to speak freely out in public on the street side or at the curb or in front of a building or what have you. There are their rights, the individual rights of the sidewalk counselor, so to speak, that are at stake. There's also the rights of the individual mother who may be walking into a building to undergo an abortion clinic. I mean, there's rights that are important on all sides of the issue. How do you address that and lay that out for people so we all better understand it?
Well, one of the things that we're going to do is talk with Walter Hoy. He is a pastor, and he was standing outside a facility in Oakland, California, and I believe holding a sign that simply said, we can help you. He was there in defiance of this fuzzy law that Oakland had enacted about sidewalk restrictions as to mm-hmm. free speech. And so he went ahead and served a jail sentence for holding a sign saying we can help you, or basically that message. And we'll talk with him about why that was worth it to him to give up his liberty to be able to hold that sign, and, you know, what has happened legally to our free speech rights in the wake of that decision. He served 30 days. He was imprisoned for 30 days for holding a sign saying we can help you. I mean, there's no way that anybody can consider this actual harassment. His sign actually, Austin, said, Jesus loves you and your baby, let us help.
Mm-hmm.
So
highly offensive wording is the point here,
goodness.
I think.
So, yeah. I mean, we'll hear from him how he is now training others to be able to do this respectfully, effectively, and lovingly. And there are many, many people who are willing to sacrifice their time and go and, you know, and risk being thought of as harassing or whatever the perception is, to go ahead and save lives.
Yeah, you know, and I'm glad you you brought up the word respectfully here, Kim Cotola, because if anything, you are respectful, and I know you and your associates, you don't want to heap more shame or blame or disgust on a mother who's with child and about to give birth or on her way to giving birth and contemplating an abortion. That doesn't help anybody, but you nonetheless want to say there's a better way to go, and this is not as harmless and innocent of a decision as you're led to believe it is. It could hurt you in the long run. There's another life at stake. You're trying to convey all these important things while being gracious and really, as the name of your show suggests, cradling the heart of that mother who's scared and feeling very alone. How do you strike that balance? It's amazing to me how you make that happen, but how does that come together?
Again, there's a beautiful story that I heard of recently in Atlanta during the 40 Days for Life campaign, which is a prayer outreach. But oftentimes the teams will try to speak with the women while they're there praying. And this particular team here in the Atlanta area where I live, a team member had a sign, Austin, that said, "Today is a hard day. We can help. Free pregnancy test, free ultrasound, we will walk with you," and then gave a phone number. And so they held that sign, you know, where the people go into the parking lot, and they've learned that if people linger in their cars, they're not fully decided to go ahead and go through with the abortion. And so that was happening for this one young couple. And eventually the man came over to the group and said, he opened his window and said, "We're going to have our baby. Don't ever get rid of that sign. It made us change our minds."
And interesting.
There are so many stories that I have heard like this where the effective work of saying, "We can help you." I mean, that's the message that's being conveyed, not a message of condemnation and, you know, fire and brimstone and this is a sin or any of those types of messages. Those things may be true, but what is loving, what is respectful, and what is effective in that moment of crisis at the last moment, you know, that you could possibly reach somebody? And that's what sidewalk counseling, I think, is all about.
Hmm. Wow, very delicate enterprise. Kim Cotola, her program is called Cradle My Heart. You'll hear it this Sunday evening, 8 p.m. Central Time, live real time. And she'll be undertaking this very difficult, very challenging, very sensitive issue of effective, not just barking at people on the street corner, but effective sidewalk counseling that actually does save lives. Kim, thanks very much for jumping in this morning. We look forward to hearing you Sunday evening. And as always, thanks so much for what you do.
Thanks, Austin. Good to talk with you.
Good to speak with you. It's now 7:17 on the Faith Radio Network, 7:17 Central Time. Snow, ice, freezing rain, we've got it all. Our program continues in moments, however. On the way, Breakpoints. It's all coming up here on the Faith Radio Network.
Getting your day started, connecting faith to life. Back to Austin Hill in the morning.
Psychologist, author, and educator Dr. Kevin Lehman joins us in just about 15 minutes to talk about his brand new book, A Happy Family by Friday. Find out some of the steps we can take to turn things around and create a happier family life for ourselves and our other family members, coming up in about 15 minutes. Also, Breakpoints with John Stone Street and Eric Metaxas on the way in just about 6 minutes from now. I think we're probably in a situation, I think it's safe to say, I'm going to go out on the edge of the ledge here, okay? This is risky business for me, but I think it's probably safe to say, in terms of weather, this is probably one of those days where if you or I think we've got it rough, there's somebody else not too far away, somebody else in our own country who has it a whole lot worse. Seriously, we've got snow and ice all over the place across the country. Over 50% of the contiguous 48 states, excluding Alaska and Hawaii, the 48 states here on the North American continent, over 50% of the landmass that is those 48 states is frozen over right now. And I understand that we've got a lot to dig out from underneath from across the upper Midwestern states. This is breaking news now from the state of New York. And I am having a little fun, poking a little fun. But this is really, really serious stuff. The death toll continues to rise from the latest winter snowstorm. Yet another round. This now is from the National Weather Service. Yet another round of heavy lake effect snow is happening right now as we speak, just as residents in snow-paralyzed western New York are still trying to dig out from up to 65 inches of snow over the course of the last 4 or 5 days. Note, yesterday morning alone, we were talking like 6 or 7 inches just in the morning hours alone. There is a 132-mile section of what is known as the New York State Thruway, otherwise known as Interstate 90, which is completely closed. My goodness, you want to bring the economy to a grinding halt. You want to talk about disrupting lifestyles and families and work and business and all the important things. How about emergency transportation? Not happening on Interstate 90 in western New York. It's closed simply because of the massive, massive amounts of snow. Lake effect snow, as they call it, continues today. The Lake Erie snow band should shift south out of Buffalo's south towns toward the southern tier counties. Heavy Lake Ontario snow band, we've got that going on. Additional heavy snow in Lake Superior and the Michigan snow belt areas. And then out west, all the way out in the Pacific Northwest, cities like Seattle, which, you know, I mean, they're not too far from the ocean. They're certainly very close, right along the water. Seattle, Washington is right along a water inlet there in the state of Washington. They have cold weather during the winter, but they're not accustomed to freezing over so much. And I know this because I'm a West Coast kind of guy. I've never lived in Seattle, but I've always lived my life in the western U.S. Seattle is facing freezing rain and perhaps a whole bunch of snow over the next 24 to 36 hours. So are other parts of the state of Washington and regions of the state of Oregon as well. So it's not just us. I hope you're remaining dug out. But nonetheless, it's hitting the nation pretty hard. And just this is something that I would customarily discuss on my weekend program, Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. And we most certainly will coming up this Saturday. But this stuff really does take a toll on economies. I mean, there will be businesses, I'm sure, in parts of New York and parts of Michigan and parts of Wisconsin, maybe even in the area where you're listening right now. There will be businesses that just, you know, they're going to have to send workers home. They'll have to close up the door because the weather is so rough. Hours that won't get worked, wages that won't be paid as a result of this. So be prepared, be prayerful, and let's be thankful that we've got each other, we've got our families, and we still, in the midst of this, are relatively safe here in the U.S. And also pray for and be supportive of the transportation workers and the emergency service workers. While we might get sent home, we might be bummed because a shift at our workplace got canceled or what have you, they're working nonstop right now, towing vehicles, trying to carry out rescue efforts, clear the roads, all those kinds of things. We'll make it, but there's more rough weather ahead around the United States. It's now 7:25 as we continue. Eric Metaxas joins us from Breakpoint. We'll hear what Eric Metaxas has for us coming up next. It's the Faith Radio Network, and I'm Austin Hill. It's now 7:35. Good morning and welcome. I'm Austin Hill in the house weekday mornings 6 till 8. As we seek to connect faith to life, this is the listener-supported Faith Radio Network. How's things in your family?
How are things going as we head into the busy holiday season? Yes, we're supposed to wish one another happy holidays, and yet sometimes the fact that we gather with extended family or even the people that live under our own roof and we're actually actually expecting one another to sit down to a meal together, that can bring feelings of anxiety. What better time to talk about having a happier family life? Dr. Kevin Lehman is an internationally recognized psychologist, very successful author and educator and media personality. He's got a brand new book out called Have a Happy Family by Friday. And since it's already 7:35 in the morning on Thursday, I'd say we're actually poised to make great time. Dr. Lehman joins us now to talk about his new book. Dr. Lehman, welcome to the Faith Radio Network. Good to talk to you.
Hey, good to be with you. Well, let's start with the book is a scam. Let's start with that, okay?
Hang on a second. Let me make sure we get that posted correctly on the website. It's a scam.
It's a scam. You don't have to wait till Friday. You could have a happy family by Wednesday.
Well, let's do it.
This book came out, and it rocketed to the bestseller list, and I think it scratches where families itch today.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the unique things about the book, quite frankly, is the words you choose to use with those you love can change the very direction of the relationship. And one of the things that I'm really big on is, hey, parents, don't ask your kids questions. Well, number one, when you ask a woman not to ask a question, it's like asking a fire not to burn. Women love questions. And by the way, for all of our ladies who are listening, on behalf of every man on this earth, we hate your questions. And we hate the Y word as well. If you want to shut off communication with a husband, just grill him with a bunch of questions. But
okay.
When kids come home, parents say what? How was your day today at school, honey? Fine. What'd you do in school today? Nothing. Teenager, where you been? Out. What'd you do? Nothing. Save your breath. These kids will become what I call slamming clickers. They'll come home, they'll go to their bedroom, they'll slam and click their door shut, and then they'll text their buddies like a woodpecker that's got ADHD. And they'll shut you out of your life.
Well, now, Dr. Lehman, you've been to my house, haven't you? You've been looking in the window and observing these things very carefully, it would seem.
Well, I've reared five of them, but I've written 49 books.
Yes.
And, I got carried away with a Friday because I wrote the book, Have a New Kid by Friday, Have a New Teenager by Friday, Have a New You by Friday. I got in a rut, tell you the truth.
Okay.
But people today respond to things that can turn relationships around quickly. And like fools, most parents, and Christian parents, bring up kids to feel like they're the center of the universe. Now, there's mistake number one.
Right.
Because if you bring up a kid to feel like they're the center of the universe, somebody step up the plate and tell me, where's the room for Almighty God in the kid's life?
Well, that's a very thoughtful question. Dr. Kevin Lehman, psychologist, his new book, Have a Happy Family by Friday. He's on our guest line here on the Faith Radio Network. It appears to me, as I've thumbed through the book, you devote a whole lot of time and attention to communication within the family, communication styles. Give us just as an example, the teenage child, for example, comes home and mom or dad wants to say, how was your day at school? What did you work on? What did you do? And we get the one-word answers, fine, nothing, et cetera, et cetera. What would be the more productive alternative? Instead of asking questions, what do we do?
Well, we program kids like an organ grinder and a monkey. And again, I'm saying to parents, resist the temptation to say anything. The kid will say something sooner or later. And when they do, if it piques your interest, say, that's interesting, or wow. Now, check this out. Tell me more about that. Now, tell me more about that, and this works with husbands as well, doesn't put the defenses up, and even though it's a command. See, and so the questioning really needs to be avoided. Let me give you another example.
And by the way, it doesn't sound like a command. It sounds like an invitation.
It is. And if you insist on asking a question, how about this? Honey, could I ask your opinion about something? And again, that will work with husbands as well, because husbands love to give their opinion on about everything.
Okay.
From sports to politics to to our faith. But the other thing is, you know, you drive your kid to school, and a kid puts a CD in. Now, I'm telling you, there's not a parent on this earth that loves their kid's music. And the kid puts it in, and it's a little loud. What do most parents say? Most parents say, hey, honey, turn that down. I can't hear myself think.
Okay.
My suggestion is say, honey, turn that up. And the kid looks at you. What did he say? What did she say? Turn it up.
Mm-hmm.
And they turn it up a little bit. And then say, louder. And start bumping around behind the wheel. Have a little fun. Say, you know, find something about the music you like. You like the beat, whatever. What I'm saying is, if you don't move into your kid's world, I'm telling you, they will systematically shut you out of their life. And they do that with great regularity. So when kids come to you and ask for things, like, I want to go to this concert, I want to go here, you know, the tell me more about it, and I'm all ears, I'd like to hear more about that. Wow, you must really like that group to want to spend $30 and travel 20 miles. Tell me more about that group. And all you're
right.
doing is inviting your kid into your life. And if you want to have an imprint, I call it the indelible imprint on your kid's life, you have to be able to talk to them and talk turkey to them.
Fair enough. Dr. Kevin Lehman, he is author of the new book, Happy Family by Friday, Have a Happy Family by Friday. He's on our guest line. You know, this is very intriguing what you're suggesting here. And quite frankly, it's counterintuitive, I would say, for a lot of us parents. What would you say to the parent who may hear your suggestions and say, well, Dr. Lehman, I like this idea of inviting my child into my world and inviting my child to tell me more about their day, share their music with me, these kinds of things. At the same time, I have concerns that in my culture and in my generation of adults, we've got a lot of adults who want to be their kid's friend rather than be the parent. How do I invite my teenager or preteen into my world? How do I sort of make my way into their world while maintaining the appropriate boundaries of me being the parent and them being the child? How would you respond to that? I'm sure you've probably contemplated that and heard that before.
Oh, I have many, many times. Again, I think this is sort of simple. And again, I've reared five kids. We made the Lehman home the centerpiece of the kid's life. In other words, we said, hey, listen, why don't you get your buddies together? I'll be glad to buy the pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't you guys hang out here? And so many times what happens is our kids were surprised that all their buddies liked us, the old people. And it gives you a chance to see these kids. Again, you want to have home games. Talk to anybody in athletics. They'd rather play at home than away.
Sure.
And it just gives you an opportunity to impact these other kids' lives. And you're right. Culture rules today. If you've got a kid that's a good little soccer player or a softball player, let me give you the conversation. Oh, John, guess what? I just got a call from Larry Williams. And guess what? Your daughter made city soccer. Oh, I am so excited for her. You know what that means, folks? It means for the next 9 weeks, you're going to spend the weekend at some Holiday Inn in a town 30 to 50 miles from your town.
Pretty much.
And you're certainly not going to be in church, are you?
Yeah, no, right.
Soccer and the fact that your little Buford or Drusilla has made city soccer or city softball or whatever, it sounds great, but it's not great. And part of the advice in this book is, hey, let's slow down. Let's not be addicted to activities. One activity per kid per semester. I'm telling you, that's plenty for families today.
I'm thinking. All right, it's Dr. Kevin Lehman, a clinical psychologist. We've got to take a quick break. I got some more questions. Can you hold on for another segment?
For you, I would hang on for eternity.
I knew it. Dr. Lehman.
You can quote me on that one.
That goes on the website. Dr. Kevin Lehman, his new book, Have a Happy Family by Friday, will continue in just moments. A lot of this advice here is kind of counterintuitive, but it's starting to make sense, wouldn't you say? It's the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. More with Dr. Lehman in moments. It's 7:47 on the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill, here weekday morning 6 till 8 as we seek to connect faith to life. Clinical psychologist, author, media personality, educator, Dr. Kevin Lehman on our guest line. His brand new book, Have a Happy Family by Friday. He says that indeed there are steps that we can take to change things pretty dramatically in our families. Dr. Lehman, one of the issues that you characterize in the book is that parents should seek to navigate the perfect storm. What does a perfect storm look like for, say, a toddler, for a preteen, for a teenager? What are you getting at with this perfect storm language here?
Well, number one, the perfect storm hits in pubescence and adolescence. And three parts of it are interesting. Number one, your kid is beginning to break away from you. Okay, that's natural.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to establish their own identity. But the second part of that storm really gets interesting because culture rules, and your son and their friends or daughter and their friends are growing up in unraveling culture. And here's the key part, that is equipped technically to a level we've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And like fools, parents are buying kids cell phones in the fifth and sixth grade. Which is never a good idea.
Well, smartphones at that.
The Goliath today is the cell phone.
Yeah,
and
very interesting.
And then the third component of that is you've got parents. 79% of parents that have kids under the age of 18, Austin, are in the workforce. So mama is bringing home the bacon, but she's also frying it. And parents have their own issues. And you put those three things together, and you got a Hurricane Sandy type phenomenon in your family.
Sure.
And I would remind your listeners that there's only one way. Now, listen to this statement. Only one way to bring up a child. Now, when you paint yourself in the corner with that statement, you better have something to say, Lehman. And this is what I have to say. Most of us grew up in authoritarian-based homes. Hey, you listen up. You go and do what I tell you to do.
Right.
Hey, you want something to cry about? I'll give you something to cry about. You don't want to take her with you? Fine. Stay home. There's your authoritarian parent. Now, I ask you as I go through these things, just to answer the question in your own mind, is God an authoritarian? Okay? Now, on the other side of the ledger, we have the permissives. Brittany, sweetheart, it's 8 p.m. Have you chosen to go to bed yet? Oh, Dr. Lehman, Ralph and I feel very strongly about this. We've enrolled Melissa in non-competitive soccer. We believe every child should be a winner. Every child gets a trophy.
Yeah.
Give me my barf bag. I don't know where they get those things from. So if you bring up your kid, and this is my promise to you, if you bring up your kid in an authoritarian manner, they're going to rebel. If you bring up your kid in a permissive manner, they're going to rebel. Now, back to the only one way.
Mm-hmm.
Is God an authoritarian? No, but he is a supreme what? Authority. And the scripture says every knee shall what? Bow. So we're not talking about a mamby-pamby God, but God doesn't grab Austin Hill by the earlobe and say, Austin, you are going to do this. He loves you so much, he gave us free choice. And by the way, Austin Hill is the starting wide receiver and a very good one and a very nice young man at the University of Arizona, and I don't know if you knew that or not.
I do indeed, but, although I think he left U of A, actually. I think he moved on to another school, but
no,
he's still there?
I go to practice every day. I talk with that kid every day. He's a fine young man. His dad played in the pros, but he's a... So you got a namesake out there that's not only a great kid, but a great football player.
Well, he has a namesake. I'm well acquainted with him. I know that indeed. At the end of the on the point of your book here, at the end of the day, you say to parents, be the dad or be the mom, but don't try to be both. How do you convey that to a mom raising children and providing for a household all on her own, or a father who's doing the single dad thing? How do you be one or the other but not both?
You know, I love your questions. That's a great question. For single moms going in alone, there's no one in the bullpen. It's like hell and ready, you and me against the world, kid. But I would tell you that for most single mommies and dads, guilt runs their life. And guilt is the propellant for most of the lousy decisions you will make as a parent. So if you're going it alone, you don't have to go get a hockey stick and a football and pretend you're dad, okay? Just be a good mom. Now notice, a good mom, not a perfect mom. A good mom blows it once in a while, but is smart enough to say, honey, would you forgive me? I was wrong. And be consistent, and that's the hard part for parents. And so, you know, you just, if you strive to be a good parent and you're quick to say, I'm sorry, you're establishing what I call equality. Flaunt your imperfection. I got news for you. This is late breaking news. I've studied the Bible. I couldn't find 12 dumber people than the 12 disciples.
Okay.
Those guys didn't get it. Jesus gets them together and says, hey, listen, guys, I'm out of here. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And Thomas, I love Thomas because he's so stupid. He reminds me of Kevin Lehman. And he says, Lord, we don't have the foggiest idea where you're going. And then Philip gets in the act. And Philip says, yeah, Lord, show us the Father, and then we'll know. And Jesus says to Philip, Philip, after all this time you've been with me, you don't know who I am. If you see me, you've what? You've seen the Father. So listen, for you parents who are struggling and you feel like you don't measure up, I got news for you. You're in pretty good company. St. Paul called himself wretched. If he's wretched, what's Kevin Lehman and Austin Hill?
Chief among sinners, perhaps?
Yeah. You know how many schools are named after St. Paul in the U.S. and Canada? It's crazy. But anyway, you see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying. And just real quick, because we're short on time here.
I've got another hour.
What's that?
I've got another hour.
Well, yeah, we don't right now, but you'll have to. We'll have to book it again. Are you up for doing this again soon?
Hey, I like you.
Well, thanks so much. I like you. But at the end of the day, just real quick, you're humanizing the 12 apostles. You're humanizing the giants of our Christian faith and drawing us closer to them. Did anybody ever rebuke you or get after you for that?
Yeah, my best friend, Moonhead Deitch, he says, Lehman, you got to remember, Jesus picked these guys. I say, yeah, but you know what? After Jesus died on that cross, where were they? They were huddled behind closed doors.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, in their midst, appeared Jesus. I'm telling you, they weren't having a conversation like this. Oh, Lord, we were just saying you'd be here any second. No, they were shocked. They were shocked. And so why did Jesus allow himself to be seen by so many people after that rock was moved away on that first Easter morning? Could have anything to do with the fact that he knew how difficult it was for some of us to believe.
Hmm.
And in that humanness and in that doubt, I find strength every day that I don't have to be perfect. I say in my book, perfectionism is slow suicide. The only perfect one was Jesus. I always say, trust Jesus, all others pay cash. But, you know, I just try to connect with people in a way to say, you know what? What really matters is your real faith in Jesus Christ. And you follow him every day. And yet there is that carnal self within you, and you're going to fail. But aren't you glad you worship a God of grace that loves us anyway? There's parents this morning that would love to UPS their kids to a far-off land. I'm telling you. But do the best you can. Make a difference in your kids' lives, and you can have a happy family by Friday.
That's the title of the book, Dr. Kevin Lehman, clinical psychologist, the author. Will you come back before Christmas?
Hey, I'm telling you, Austin, call me up. I'm there.
Okay. All right. We'll have you back. Thanks so much. What an honor to be with you. Have a great day there in Tucson, Arizona. 7:56, it's the Faith Radio Network, and I'm Austin Hill. The Faith Radio Network is what you're listening to. I'm Austin Hill here weekday morning 6 till 8. And by the way, we'll have the audio from our conversation with Dr. Kevin Lehman and info about his book, Have a Happy Family by Friday. We'll have that all posted later today at myfaithradio.com. Coming up on tomorrow's program, I'll be back tomorrow morning at 6, our great friend George Fraser, co-host of the Real Recovery Program, where serious issues get addressed in a very real and authentic and gracious way. George Frazier joins us tomorrow morning. So also does Philip Yancey, the esteemed and accomplished author, Philip Yancey, to talk about his brand new book, Vanishing Grace. That and more when I return tomorrow morning at 6. Have a great day. Thank you for listening, and hope you jump on board with Operation Christmas Child. All the info you need, find it at myfaithradio.com. See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Austin Hill in the Morning. For more information about this, you can visit Austin Hill in the Morning, our program page, on myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com.